This is New Hampshire Public Radio News at 9:06.
From New Hampshire Public Radio, I'm Laura Kanoy, and this is The Exchange. After years of warnings about a nursing shortage, turns out we could be seeing a temporary nursing surplus. A decade ago, legions of young Americans heard the call for more of them to study nursing, and they responded, flooding nursing schools in New Hampshire and nationwide. Now, though, some of today's graduates find that nursing degree is no guarantee of employment. Older nurses are staying on the job longer than expected. Also, healthcare employers have faced budget cuts and aren't hiring as they used to. And some hospitals are getting choosier about who they do hire. There's a national push on for more nurses to have bachelor's degrees. They're aiming to reach what the National Institute of Medicine calls the ideal, at least 60% of nurses in any given state with a bachelor's degree. New Hampshire only has 20% of nurses with that level of education or more. These and other issues facing the venerable nursing profession were highlighted recently in a three-part New Hampshire Union Leaders series on the growing complexity of our healthcare system and what it requires from our nurses. Today in The Exchange, we continue that examination looking at new demands on nurses. And let's hear from you. If you're a nurse, what's your perspective on what your profession requires today? Have you seen a temporary glut of nurses, or do you still feel a shortage in your workplace? And do you feel you need more education and a higher degree, or is on-the-job experience an equally valid teacher? Give us a call. Tell us what you think. The Exchange number, 1-800-892-6477, 1-800-892-NHPR. Send us an email if you'd like, exchange@nhpr.org. Also, we're now on Facebook, so you can go to our page and join the conversation there. With me in studio, Tim Buckland, reporter for the New Hampshire Union Leader, and he recently wrote that three-part series I mentioned on the new demands on nursing. And Tim, it's nice to meet you. Thank you for being here.
Good morning.
Also with us, Sue Fetzer, professor of nursing at UNH, past president of the New Hampshire Nurses Association. And Sue, it's good to see you. Thank you for being here.
Thank you, Laura.
Also with us, Yvonne Caracino, registered nurse working at Elliott Hospital. She has an associate's degree and is 2 weeks away from getting her bachelor's. And Yvonne, congratulations in advance and thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Well, and I want to start with some of the big issues that Tim laid out in his series. And to you first, I think, Sue Fetzer, many of the nurses quoted in Tim's series said, again and again, their field has grown so much more complex. What do you think? How so?
Well, Laura, we know that the half-life of nursing knowledge, or how fast nursing knowledge doubles, is about 8 to 12 months now. That is, the new technologies, the new research coming out, the new practice ideas coming out, they're just coming out at such a fast rate that it's very hard to keep up. And so in education today, we're really not teaching every new practice. We're teaching people how to learn about new practices, how to read about new practices, how to evaluate new practices. So that's the competency that we're really looking for now, as opposed to just teaching the skill.
Because those skills need to keep changing as the patient population changes, as the technology changes.
Because those skills continue to keep changing as the technology changes. And I can give you an example. Our students 4 years ago, we were telling them they had to use PDAs in order to bring up the pharmacology knowledge that they needed. Well, PDAs are no longer being made 4 years later, and
wow,
these students are now graduating, and they need iPads. So just in that 4 years, the technology has changed, and so all the knowledge required has changed.
What else, Yvonne, has changed in addition to the technology that Sue mentions?
I think the complexity of the patient care. You know, being at the bedside, you have such a multitude of chronic illness that these patients come in sicker, they go home sicker, so it's also nursing care through the continuum, transitioning out to the home base or long-term, short-term skilled facilities, and how to manage that transition out of the acute care facility. The chronic illnesses, diabetes, heart disease, are just, you know, a couple of the illnesses that so many patients have. And they have other things that are ill as well, and they have to go home with that. And you have to make sure everything's good when they leave.
So you're not just treating them for one problem. They come in for help with one problem, but they have
right. All
these other problems.
All the other problems.
And there's all these probably interactions with medicines and all that.
Right. And you have to know what medications, you know, if a patient comes in, one doctor has given them one medication, another one has given another. And a lot of the older folks, they're not even aware what they're on, why they're on it. And, oh, yeah, I'm taking that, too, because my daughter said it was good. So all those things interact in the hospital, and you have to put the pieces of the puzzle together.
Well, and Tim, what did you hear as you were working on this series about the new demands on New Hampshire nurses today?
Well, both Yvonne and Linda Von Ryan, the CNO of Dartmouth-Hitchcock, put it in kind of human terms. You know, Yvonne said, we don't just walk in your room, hold your hand, and rub your back a little bit anymore. You know, that's just not what we do. And Linda, whose background is in maternity nursing, put it really well for me when she said, when you were born, your mom probably got to spend upwards of a week in the hospital. I could teach her how to start taking care of you, make sure she, if she was choosing to breastfeed, was doing it correctly. Now, and she said, you just recently had a kid. How long was your wife in the hospital? 2 days.
Yeah.
And that's all they get. So it's taking everything that used to be, you know, transferred to the patient in 7 days' time, and now I got 36 hours to do it. Boom.
Well, and that's a good point. So, you know, Sue talked about the technology and Yvonne talked about the more complicated patients, they're sicker. You're also talking about time compression. That makes a difference in terms of what nurses have to do.
Well, certainly. Just like any other profession, like what we do, it just everything is faster, more complex, and you have less time to do it in.
Wow. Right. Yvonne, I bet you can relate.
Absolutely. You know, I've been doing this for a long time.
How long?
I first graduated in the early 80s. So, you know, that's almost 30 years ago. I worked on a progressive care unit, and there were two nurses and a nurse's aide for 42 patients. So, you know, you went up one hallway, down the other, you passed out a few medications, and you had patients that were there for, you know, whether it was respite or give the caregiver a break, the patients weren't critically ill. And nowadays, there are no, well, how do I say, easy patients. You know, everybody has an issue, whether it's psychosocial or medical. The transition into the acute care is huge. So you don't have, you know, the ability to not give every single patient every detail. You know, you have to be totally detail-oriented to give them the best care possible.
So what's behind these patients being sicker and on so many medications, Sue, and just presenting a whole host of issues, not just there for one problem?
Well, we're really doing a lot better job with healthcare today. The average person comes into the hospital with being on 9 medications. And so the nurse has got to know what those 9 medications are. And then before they leave the hospital, they're probably going to be on 9 different medications added on to that. And so what are the interactions? And you don't have time to necessarily go to a book or look it up or, you know, you've got to be really aware of what's going on with the patient. And then how do those medications work in the patient? How are they working? And those medications may not even be the ones that brought the patient into the hospital to begin with. So we're certainly doing a better job with healthcare, which means that we need to know a lot more about all these complex issues.
And we're an aging state here in New Hampshire.
And we're an aging state.
And then there's the American obesity crisis.
And we're an obese state.
So altogether, that creates those more complex patients that
And what normally was a normal appendix that we could allow to be in the hospital for 5 days recuperating with no medications, we don't see those patients anymore at all.
Who sees them?
Well, a lot of them are done on a surgical outpatient basis for 24 hours, a short stay. And so those patients are not necessarily in the acute care facilities.
Yvonne, did you want to jump in there?
No, and it's the same as Sue said. The folks that, you know, it's a quick procedure, they're in and out. The ones that actually come into the acute care area. Also, there's an expectation that we don't cause the patient harm. So that's huge. You know, you don't expect your folks or, you know, loved ones to come into the hospital and have a fall or develop a skin ulcer or have a medication error. That's not acceptable. So nurses have to be on their toes 100% of the time.
Well, and sure, there's been a lot of attention recently to medical errors and trying to reduce those. Let me invite our listeners to join us, and then I do want to get into the education piece that Tim wrote about in his series. Our number here on the exchange is 1-800-892-6477. 1-800-892-NHPR. If you're a nurse, what's your perspective on the demands on your profession today. Do you feel you need more education and a higher degree, or is on-the-job experience an equally valid teacher? Also, a little later on, we'll discuss this issue of whether there is a nursing shortage or a temporary surplus. We'd like your thoughts on that, too. Join us, 1-800-892-6477, 1-800-892-NHPR. Email is exchange@nhpr.org. exchange@nhpr.org, again, is the address, or you can join us on Facebook. And Tim, let's dive into the education piece then. Okay, so what is happening here in New Hampshire in terms of the education that most nurses have now and what nurses are expected to have in the future?
Well, I think Sue can speak to the past better, but it sounded like when I was speaking to nursing leaders and to people like Sue and Yvonne, you know, for example, the CNO we'll be talking to with today, she graduated with a diploma, not even an associate's degree. And now she's the head of the largest hospital system in the state. And she's telling me more and more, we've got to have nurses with a bachelor's degree, not for direct patient care, but for a broader perspective on everything that patient care is that's entailed at the hospital. And like Sue brought up earlier, it's not just, your arm is broken, but, you know, if you're taking a painkiller for it, what's that doing to the diabetes medication that you're taking, and how does that interact with your blood pressure medication? It's just one thing after another that, you know, it's just can't be this simple, here's your cast and go anymore.
CNO is Chief Nursing Officer. Right.
By the way, sorry.
Yeah, that's okay. And it actually brings something up that we should clear up very quickly if we could, Sue, this alphabet soup of nurses, RNs, CNOs, and so forth.
Well, Laura, prior to 1950, we had two ways of preparing a nurse, and that was through a diploma program that was hospital-based. And those diploma programs actually started right after the Civil War, because hospitals were growing so fast after the Civil War, they needed manpower to care for the patient. So every hospital kind of developed their own nursing program. And we have some excellent nursing programs in the state, Mary Hitchcock Diploma School Nursing, Margaret Pillsbury, which is the new Concord Hospital, New Hampshire State Hospital, just about every hospital in the state had their diploma nursing program.
I'm going to have to cut you off there, Sue. I do apologize. Lots more to talk about, though, when it comes to this education piece and how it's evolved. We'll take your calls, too, at 1-800-892-6477.
This is NHPR 919. Good morning. Support for NHPR comes from UR members. And from the NEEF Network Organizations, a statewide leader assisting students and parents planning for college, information at nhheaf.org. From Exeter Hospital's Kites Against Cancer to benefit the Beyond the Rainbow Fund this Sunday from 10 to 3 at Hampton Beach with face painting, music, and more, exeterhospital.com. And from Holloway Motor Cars of Manchester, authorized Mercedes-Benz dealer, featuring the 2012 E-Class, combining a signature blend of performance, luxury, and technology, benzcars.com. More on winnowing the nursing force on the exchange on NHPR and a 10 on the Diane Rehm Show, risky bank investments, and the U.S. economy. New Hampshire weather today, partly to mostly cloudy with a chance of showers, highs 67 to 72 degrees. Tonight, cloudy, some showers, lows mid to upper 50s, most of the state, 50 to 55 degrees in the North Country. This is NHPR.
This is The Exchange. I'm Laura Kanoy. Today in The Exchange, new demands on nursing. We invite you to join us at 1-800-892-6477. If you're a nurse, how have you seen your profession change over the past decade? What do you make of increased pressure to get an advanced degree? Do you feel education is needed to keep up with changes in your field, or is on-the-job experience just as good a teacher? Also, if you're studying to be a nurse right now, what are you hearing about employment opportunities after you finish? Have you heard there's a nursing shortage, or is there a temporary surplus? Join us, 1-800-892-6477. Email is exchange@nhpr.org. And Sue Fetzer, again, professor of nursing at UNH. Just before the break, you were finishing up my question about, you know, to the average person, a nurse is a nurse is a nurse, but within the profession, there's what I call an alphabet soup of who's who. So what exactly are we talking about here?
So in the 1950s, when we had diploma nurses who were excellent caregivers at the bedside, There was no one to take care of people in the community. And so the baccalaureate programs or the BSN programs started to really look at the entire range of healthcare services that nursing could provide. Well, obviously, after the World War II, we ran into a shortage of nurses. And in 1952, a lady by the name of Mildred Montag said, you know, we've got all these community colleges. We have a shortage of nursing. I think I can produce a nurse in 2 years that will meet the minimum requirements. And it was Mildred Montag doing her doctoral dissertation that came up with the associate degree in nursing. And it fit right in the community college model because post-war, the community colleges were trying to meet the need for the GI Bill. So we have the 1950s, the associate degree nurse began. 1965, the profession said, we really need to phase out the diploma programs because nursing is more than just in the hospital.
Those were the hospital-based programs.
And as a matter of fact, only about 60% of nursing occurs in the hospital today. So those programs in New Hampshire were phased out by 1986. Concord Hospital School of Nursing became the last diploma program in the state. And so we have two-year associate degree programs now preparing a two-year AD nurse and a four-year baccalaureate program preparing four-year baccalaureate nurses.
So now this associate's degree, this two-year degree in nursing that's been the standard for so long is anyone still doing that anymore, or are people being dissuaded from that?
No, we have about 11 associate degree programs in the state preparing about 80% of the nurses that we turn out every year.
80% are getting that 2-year community college degree.
And to go back with what we were talking about earlier, Laura, the philosophy of the associate degree program back in the 70s and 80s was that an associate degree graduate took care of patients with commonly occurring illnesses with predictable outcomes. And that's really what they were educated for, the common illnesses, predictable outcomes. They were not educated for the unusual illnesses, the complex illnesses, the chronic illnesses that didn't have predictable outcomes. And that was really the difference between the associate degree education and the baccalaureate education, which looked at more complex issues.
That's interesting. And as you all laid out earlier, a lot of patients coming in with not common illnesses and with not predictable outcomes. Yvonne, real quick to you, why did you decide that you needed to move up from that 2-year associate's degree to get your bachelor's? Again, you're going to get it in just 2 weeks.
Right. Well, again, I've been doing this a very long time. I went to North Shore Community College, as Sue said. The 2-year program worked for me. I got married right out of high school. It was financially a great opportunity to get an excellent job quickly, you know, minimal investment of my time. And I got a really good job. That was, you know, way back when. But now, especially over the last 10, 15 years, the need to figure things out, what makes healthcare better. It's more a global perspective that, you know, maybe it's intrinsic, I don't know. But I found that I needed more education. I needed the background to validate what I did. I think a lot of things you see in nursing are intrinsic, you know, the gut reaction. Something's wrong, and I can't put my finger on it. I think what the baccalaureate programs do now is have the youngsters or whoever's going to school for that and figure out how to critically think systems approaches as opposed to facts and tasks.
Mm, interesting. And Tim, real quick to you too. Again, this was a big focus of this series that you did. What did you hear from nurses who've been in the field for, you know, 10, 20, 30 years, and now they have to go back and get a bachelor's?
Well, I talked to a couple nurses who aren't quoted necessarily in the story who said that they're fine with their associate's degree. They're not looking to move beyond what they do, and they feel like it's fine for the task at hand. And when I talked to the head of a community college, she said there is still that need out there, not necessarily maybe at a hospital, but perhaps doctor's offices, nursing homes. So the associate's degree, I think, still fits a need out there.
It's not going by the wayside.
I don't think so.
But then when you went online and looked at job openings for nurses, you found...
If you want a job as an RN in a hospital, the bachelor's degree is absolutely preferred. And that's exactly what the heads of every major hospital that I talked to said. In a perfect world, if I had an unlimited supply of bachelor's degree nurses, that's who I want.
All right. Well, Yvonne, did you want to jump in real quick?
Yeah, I think it's important to look at what things were and not build, you know, not look at what things were. You know, my grandmother was a St. Elizabeth's graduate diploma nurse. She also, you know, lit the coal stove at night and went up to the attic of St. Elizabeth's to get beds for the basketball players. But what do we want the future of nursing to look like? You know, what should the nurse look? It's a profession. We need to have a professional accountability, and that means we need to grow the profession in a forward direction with a baccalaureate degree, at least.
Well, joining us now is someone with a broad perspective on this, Linda Von Ryan, Chief Nursing Officer at Dartmouth-Hitchcock Medical Center and co-leader of the New Hampshire Action Coalition of the Institute of Medicine's The Future of Nursing Initiative. And Linda Von Ryan, very nice to have you. Thanks for your time.
Yes, good morning, Laura. It's nice to be here.
Well, how would you say the field of nursing has changed over the past decade, Linda? We've talked about time pressures. We've talked about pressure of more complicated patients. We've talked about nurses needing to, you know, navigate through dozens of different medicines and their interactions. What changes have you seen over the years?
Well, as Tim mentioned, I started myself with a diploma degree and have really felt a personal need to increase my education. And I would concur with what, you know, Sue and Yvonne have both said. The complexity of the patient we now see, even at home and in our skilled nursing facilities and in the hospital, the complications and the complexity of the patient is great. And I think that the increased education one receives at both a baccalaureate and master's degree and PhD level are very helpful in caring for our patients that we now are seeing day to day.
So as an employer, Linda, what kind of nurse are you looking for? Are you hiring anybody with a two-year degree, or are you pretty much bachelor's degree only?
Well, we have a preference for baccalaureate degree, but many of our employers, our employees, will attend a community college as a way to get into the nursing profession with an associate's degree. So we do support our employees that are coming to us with associate degrees. Other than that, though, we do have a preference for baccalaureate degree graduates and nurses when we have the opportunity to have a choice. We don't always have folks with baccalaureate applying for our roles, but we do have that preference when it's available.
I want to ask you, Linda, if I could, about your work with the Institute of Medicine's The Future of Nursing Initiative. What did the Institute of Medicine say, I believe it was last year in a report, about the ratio of nurses in any given state who have higher degrees versus the standard two-year degree?
Well, the Institute of Medicine report actually wants to get to an 80% ratio of baccalaureate degree students to increase to 80%. However, if I could just give a little background actually on the report, I think it would be helpful. In the mid-2000s, the Institute of Medicine and the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation actually commissioned a report to look at the future of nursing, and they published that report in October of 2010. And interestingly, the title of the report was The Future of Nursing, Advancing Health. And the perspective of the report was that in order for the United States to have the healthiest population possible, it was necessary for nurses to do a few key things, one of which was to achieve higher levels of education. And their recommendation relative to that was to have more nurses prepared at the BSN level and to have an easy way for nurses that graduated with associate degrees to what they call seamlessly transfer to a baccalaureate degree program. And finally, they wanted to see an increased diversity in the nursing community. So their very specific recommendation that came out of the report was that by 2020 we should increase the ratio of nurses with baccalaureate degrees by 80%.
80% is a lot. And from what I read in Tim's series, right now only 20% of New Hampshire nurses have that level of education.
That is true. And so, interestingly, the AARP, the American Association of Retired Persons, and the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation joined together to create what is called the Center to Champion Nursing in America. And through state action coalitions, they are assisting states to achieve the recommendations of the IOM report. And in February of this year, New Hampshire was formally designated as an action coalition state. And so one of the activities that we specifically are looking at is making it easy for nurses who are graduating with associate degrees to continue on to get a baccalaureate degree as well as giving scholarships for nurses who want higher levels of education.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask you. Who helps them pay for that that degree, right? So you're saying there is some help.
Yes, actually the government, the federal government, has built into their healthcare legislation some funding for nurses to get continuing education. Many hospitals have tuition reimbursement, and there are ways that we're supporting nurses to get continuing levels of education.
You know, I want to ask you another related question, if I could, Linda. We've heard for years about the nursing shortage. I have read that in some aspects of nursing anyway, there's now a surplus. What are you seeing?
We always have opportunities for nurses to have employment at Dartmouth-Hitchcock because as an academic medical center, we have a cycling of nurses that coincides with our fellowship and residency programs. We have many nurses that come with a partner that is a resident, or they leave with a resident as they change. So we have this cyclical opportunity for nurses to join our organization. However, since the economic changes of around 2008, many nurses who had planned on retiring decided not to do that given their economic pressures in their household. So we saw a decrease in the number of nurses that were leaving the organization, and other than this cyclical change that we see, we have many nurses that are applying for the jobs that we have available. And it's not that we have a shortage of nurses trying to get employment. We really generally don't have as many roles as there are nurses who want to have a job.
Okay. Well, it's good to talk to you, Linda. Thank you very much.
You're very welcome. Thank you.
That's Linda Von Ryan again, Chief Nursing Officer at Dartmouth-Hitchcock Medical Center. Our number for you to join us is 1-800-892-6477. Email is exchange@nhpr.org. And waiting in Burlington, Vermont is John. Hi, John. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Hello. Yes. I'm an RN-BSN, and I also have a master's. I'm a registered nurse anesthetist. And I have probably, about 25 years' experience in both OR and critical care. And one thing that I can reflect upon on my experience when I was a floor nurse is working with students and really finding them deficient in such basic things as understanding laboratory values, really understanding and being able to figure out, in other words, critically think a situation.
You used the word deficient, John, right? You didn't think they had the critical thinking skills that they needed to make decisions on the floor.
I didn't think that they, well, part of having critical thinking skills are having scientific skills and understanding your lab values and also such things as being comfortable with mathematics and being understanding the science behind what you're doing. In other words, there's too much reliance on rote memory and too little on why am I doing this?
You know, John, this is a point that we raised earlier, and I think with you especially, Sue Fetzer, the idea that it's a lot more to it than there used to be. It's a lot more complicated.
As John said, there's a lot of information out there.
Science, math, critical thinking,
pharmacology, diseases, drugs and diseases. And it's very difficult to teach all that in 2 years for an associate degree program. And it's very difficult to teach it also in 4 years. But imagine trying to compress that all into 2 years. You just can't teach it all. And so there are some differences between the knowledge basis of a two-year grad and a four-year grad.
What about the idea, Sue, that the nurse gets that two-year degree that, as we heard from all of you, is still the standard, and then it's up to the employer to keep that person up to date?
Well, that's an interesting concept because if you look at all the other healthcare disciplines that are surrounding the patient, all of their entry-level education is baccalaureate plus. In order to be an occupational therapist or a physical therapist or a pharmacist, you have to have at least a master's degree. But we're allowing nurses, who are basically the providers, who are the people who are coordinating the care, to have a lesser education. So we're not even on the same playing field as some of the other disciplines, which is really kind of disappointing.
Yvonne, I'd love your thoughts on that.
I completely agree with Sue. One of the huge advantages of the four-year programs is that they have practicums. So the nurse actually is experiencing nursing in a capacity that allows her to observe and function as a nurse in a learning mode. And these practicums can last 6 weeks, 8 weeks, but they really ingrain the nurse into a floor situation as opposed to the two-year programs. You do clinicals, but it's a sheltered clinical. You know, you can do part of the care for the patient. You're not responsible for working with the nurse to, you know, the patient's nurse to coordinate the care. And I find that is a huge advantage for the bachelor's nurse coming out of school.
All right. Thank you, John, for the call. Let's take another one. This is Sarah in Keene. Sarah, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I just have a basic question. How does the education of nurses address the social political influences affecting our healthcare system? I would argue that just because people are coming into your care and are on more medications than before, that doesn't reflect that people are healthy. In fact, if you look at statistics in the industrialized world, the statistics on infant mortality and life expectancy in the United States are some of the lowest. And finally, you have people coming into your care without health insurance.
Right. Sarah, thanks a lot for calling in. I think, Sue, you were the one who said before that a lot of the medications that people are on, they're coming into the hospital on an average of 9 medications, which I find mm-hmm. astonishing. And you said we're doing a better job with healthcare. What do you think about Sarah's point? In some instances, we're not doing a better job. We're seeing these patients with a lot of problems.
Absolutely. And what we're now seeing people who are homeless, who have had health insurance in the past, who have been on medications and can't afford their medications. So they come in at the almost the end of their chronic illness. And not only do we have to address their medical problems, we have to address all of their issues about finding a home, finding shelter. And that, in addition, is part of the nursing realm.
Tim.
Well, you know, Sue touched on this a little bit, but what made this, the reason I thought this would be an interesting piece to write about is when you go into a doctor's office, you know what his education is. You know he's been through 7 years of school. But when you're at the doctor's office, who do you spend more time with, your nurse or your doctor?
Sometimes you don't even see the doctor.
Yeah, and you don't know exactly, you know, that nurse's, you know, degree is not up on the wall. So I thought it was interesting to examine, you know, how nurses feel about the changing in education and how it would affect patient care.
Okay, and we will take more of your calls on that topic after a short break. Our number here on The Exchange, 1-800-892-6477. Email is exchange@nhpr.org. And all of you, lots more calls and emails coming up.
For the past 9 months, we've been exploring New Hampshire's immigration story. Well, we're wrapping up our coverage with a series of special shows on The Exchange, including a Socrates Exchange, pondering who is an American. There'll be reports from the newsroom, and we'll cap it all off with an hour-long documentary chronicling the last 200 years of New Hampshire's immigration story. Tune in and visit nhpr.org for more information. Made possible in part by the New Hampshire Humanities Council.
Support for NHPR comes from UR members and from the University of New Hampshire Graduate School, preparing New Hampshire leaders for the 21st century, gradschool.unh.edu. And Dartmouth Hitchcock, providing online health tools and podcasts for a healthier New Hampshire. Information at dartmouthhitchcock.org. Partly to mostly cloudy, a chance of showers around New Hampshire today. High temperatures 67 to 72 degrees. Good morning, it's 9:40. This is NHPR.
This is The Exchange. I'm Laura Kanoy. Today in The Exchange, we're looking at the new demands on nursing. You can join us, 1-800-892-6477, 1-800-892-NHPR, or email us, exchange@nhpr.org. Also, The Exchange is now on Facebook, so we hope you'll go to our page, join the conversation there. The number, one more time, is 1-800-892-6477. I want to bring yet another voice into our conversation now. Karen Higgins is with us, co-president of National Nurses United, a nurses union. She's also a staff nurse at Boston Medical Center. And Karen, thanks a lot for being with us. We appreciate it.
It's my pleasure.
Well, we've been talking all hour, Karen, about this increased pressure from employers for nurses to have higher degrees. We've heard that the demands on nurses are far more complex and far more technical, and that better patient care requires higher education. What do you think?
I personally think that it's not the direction that we should be looking at. I mean, every nurse, to become a nurse, you have to be licensed, which means you have to take a board exam and pass it to become a registered nurse and be able to work. So there is standards at which we all have to pass a test to be able to be out there functioning in hospitals or wherever we are working. There's nothing against going further. I mean, the biggest thing is however you become a registered nurse, whether it's through an associate degree or through, your BSN or however, you know, the encouragement is nursing is a profession that has many opportunities and many directions you can go in, and increasing your education to accomplish that is great. But it's very short-sighted to think that that's the direction we should go in right now, especially when we're talking about the bedside nurse, because the issue is in 5 or 6 years, as we all know, there's going to be a huge loss of nurses because of our age. I've worked 35 years in an intensive care unit, and I can honestly say I've mentored many, many nurses who have done a fabulous job, and I have never once asked them, are you a degree nurse? Are you an associate's degree nurse? My expectation is you're a registered nurse that passed your exam, and you're very capable of taking care of patients.
We heard about a major study from the Institute of Medicine in the mid-2000s that said in order for the U.S. to have the healthiest population possible, we need a lot more nurses with higher education. We heard from a caller earlier who felt like the nurses he worked with didn't have the math and science and critical thinking skills that they needed to complete this demanding profession, to work well in this demanding profession with complicated patients. So what do you think? Is the Institute of Medicine wrong to say that we need so many more nurses with higher degrees?
You know, I would say it's nice to have more education. There's nothing wrong with that. I do think that the programs that are out there are basically educating our nurses. We're seeing the problem. It's funny because there's been a lot more studies that have also been done that relate to RNs. It doesn't say whether they have their degree or not have their degree, but what makes a difference is the number of nurses at the bedside. And then, in fact, when nurses do not have an assignment that is totally out of the realm, that they cannot take care of those patients, that the patients actually have good outcomes and do well. So I don't agree with what they're saying, to be quite honest with you. Again, degrees are good. All of this is good, but to actually, have the experience working at the bedside, taking care of patients. I have 35 years of being in an ICU in an in-town Boston teaching hospital. I don't agree with what they're saying. I think these nurses that are coming out with, continuing support and education within where they work, has made them wonderful nurses that take great care of patients. So it amazes me to hear somebody saying that the nurses are not capable of coming out of schools and getting their licensing and being able to function in these environments.
You know, you touched on the coming nursing shortage that we're told about. Karen,
right.
Are you worried that if employers get too choosy, the shortage will get even worse?
Oh, it is going to. I mean, it absolutely will get worse. We know there's a problem already. We know that there is a waiting list to get into any of these schools, whether it's an associate degree or whether it's a BSN. There is no, we have a very, very limited number of faculty, which limits how many nurses or how many people get into these programs. And we know that within 5 years, the average age of nurses is now somewhere around 55, 57. So you're talking a good 6 years, and it's very short-sighted to think that this is what should be the answer, that we should now be put in a position of saying that the only nurses that are, good, qualified nurses are those with BSN. There are a lot of nurses out there, and again, they are licensed. They took the same exam that a BSN nurse, whether it's an associate degree nurse, they all passed it. It's not an easy test. It gives everybody the same standard as far as when they go into their practice. It's from there, each individual does what they need to do to continue their practice and learn more and continue to educate themselves. And it is very short-sighted to limit thinking that this is the only, nurses that can take care of patients.
What's the middle ground on this question, Karen, in your opinion?
My middle ground is that we already have a process in effect that we are, you know, that if you go through any form of schooling, you have to pass your boards. From that point, you go into nursing, wherever you choose to go. And again, what it should be is that you as a professional continue to grow by increasing your education and doing more. It gives you the opportunity to go into many, many things. So I think, you know, that I would never, ever want to back away from and say, oh, you know, you don't need education. You do need it. But again, we already have something in place that has worked for, I don't know, 100 years that has actually brought nurses into the bedside. I have not heard really any concerns as far as the quality of those nurses. Where we see the concerns is from the nurses themselves who are professional saying, I can do, with the technology and the needs of these patients. The problem I'm having is you're giving me way too many patients who require a lot of care. And as a licensed nurse, I know what my limitations are. And I'm expected to do a lot more with a lot more technology for a lot more patients. And that's a dangerous practice. That's where we need to be looking. And we know the studies have been done that proved if you limit the amount of patients a nurse has, that the patient outcomes are much, much better.
Yeah, that's something Tim Buckland mentioned earlier, one of our guests, that nurses have more patients and are expected to do more in less time with less staff. Karen, thank you very much for taking the time with us this morning.
It's been my pleasure. And it is an issue that we, you know, like I said, we do need to seriously look at. And I think for the future of a patient, it's a big mistake to think that this is the way to solve the issue for patient safety and good patient care in the future.
Karen, thanks a lot.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
That's Karen Higgins, co-president of National Nurses United, also a staff nurse at Boston Medical Center. And before we go back to the phones, Sue Fetzer, I think I need to ask you what you think. You know, a very passionate case from Karen Higgins that, look, these nurses, you know, they're doing it. Their problem is they're required to do too much with not enough resources. That's the real issue.
Well, a couple of points, Laura. One is, yes, every nurse has a license, but we know that a licensed nurse, that exam is a minimum standard of safety. We're not testing critical thinking. We're not testing organization. We're not testing the ability to read research on that exam. So that is a minimum exam. Point number two is that, yes, employers are allowed to provide continuing education, but employers don't have the time nor the resources anymore to kind of bring those nurses up to speed. My third point is there's a lot of evidence. A lot of it came out of Linda Aiken's work out of the University of Pennsylvania. And Aiken found both in 2003 and 2008 that a 10% increase in the proportion of nurses holding a BSN degree decreased the risk of patient death and failure to rescue by 5%. Another study in 2008 found that nurses prepared at the baccalaureate level were linked with lower mortality and, again, failure to rescue. So there is a lot of evidence there that says that the BSN does improve outcomes.
Let's take some more calls. And this is Carrie waiting in Amherst. Hi, Carrie. Thanks for hanging on. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Hi, Laura. I have a BSN. I've been working for 10 years, and I'm a floor nurse. I work on a post-op floor.
And again, Carrie, sorry to interrupt. BSN means two-year degree?
It's a four-year. Okay. A Bachelor of Science in Nursing.
Got it.
I was at UMass Lowell. You have to. There is no other degree there other than a master's. I actually agree with Karen Higgins. Not that we shouldn't be getting BSNs, but I graduated with plenty of kids. It was my second degree, so I'd already had one BS in medical technology, that they didn't know, one, they stepped on the floor, how to take care of patients. And not that more education, I'm sure it does help. I'm sure the studies are correct. But we do have, right now, at any given day, I have six patients. It's very hard to take care of six patients, even with we have two aides on the floor with 40 patients. The patients are concerned that, are they going to make it to the bathroom on time? Are they going to fall? You don't need a BSN to make sure that your patient is safe and that they're getting their right meds. I'm not saying that it doesn't help, but I agree with the last, with Karen Higgins, that we need more nurses on the floor. We don't need to be eliminating the people we have. Patient safety, we need more there for the patients.
Well, Carrie, it's interesting, and I'm just curious, do you work in New Hampshire or Massachusetts?
I currently work in Massachusetts. I live in New Hampshire.
Yeah, and are the demands different in Massachusetts or pretty much the same
everywhere? I mean, I work in a hospital that's definitely different than a, you know, doctor's office setting, but I'm sure the hospitals here are the same as the hospitals in Lowell, but, you know, I'll have five post-ops knees and then a nappy, and you got five people over the age of 60 with a knee, and they can't get up out of bed by themselves, but at the same time, they all have to go to the bathroom. I'm only one person.
Right.
You can't be there for everybody.
Well, it's those time pressures that Tim talked about.
That is a lot of what we do on a day-to-day during your shift is it actually is just, it is, you know,
the basic
it's
stuff.
It's that kind of basic care that patients need from
okay.
us.
Carrie, thanks a lot for calling in. Yvonne, Tim, thoughts here? Yvonne?
Well, I think, as both these ladies have indicated, there is a degree of patient safety that comes with a nurse-patient ratio. However, I challenge both of you to how do you advocate for your patients with the constraints of your staffing or what you do. What can you do better for better patient outcomes? And that's where the difference is with the degree. I think learning how to advocate for your patients with what you have helps.
How does a degree help you advocate for your patients? I'm not really clear on that.
I think the critical thinking, what can you do to make it better? I find in the baccalaureate program, it's more about advocacy, looking beyond those walls of the institution or what have you. You know, where nurses work in tradition, and again, your ICU nurse with 35 years of experience absolutely has, you know, probably everything that I would need if I were a patient and I need to get better. But what's beyond that? What does our healthcare look like in the future? You know, again, as I said earlier, we build upon tradition. What we did 10-20 years ago isn't good enough because all these challenges that they just described absolutely are true. And how do we get away from that and make it better, period?
Yeah, that's really what your series, Tim, I think highlighted was, is this question, is it good enough or not? And we're hearing different opinions.
I agree. You know, I think it's just like any other profession. As the world gets more complex, just like any job, you might need more broader education just to cope, maybe. And, you know, when I think about it as just an economic standpoint, when, as Sue said, in 5 or 10 years when these nurses start leaving en masse, if you're out there thinking about potential future employment and a hospital's got, you know, 10 jobs to fill and 20 applicants, it's going to take the person with more education / more experience. And if I was an employer and I had two people sitting in front of me, both of whom wanted one job, I'd probably, you know, just thinking of it, not even in a medical sense, I'd probably take the person with more experience and more education. And, you know, this is also a field where people's lives are on the line. And I can't argue one way or the other. I'll leave that up to them. But if I was told you have a choice of two nurses, you know, she has a bachelor's degree, she doesn't. As a patient, I might say, well, can I have her, please?
Well, and you noticed when you were perusing again the employment boards for nursing, you know, the websites that announce nursing jobs, everyone said bachelor's preferred.
For registered nurses positions, yep.
Yeah, real interesting. Well, here's an email that came in earlier. This is from Michael in Portsmouth. He says, from my own experience as a heart patient for the last 20 years, doctors have abdicated a lot of their responsibility to their nursing staff. For example, when you stay overnight in a hospital, the doctor goes home, and the nurses are expected to only involve that doctor when he, she feels it necessary. What do you think about Michael's point? I'm interested in this. As nurses get more professional experience, Sue, scientific experience and so forth, are the doctors handing over a lot more responsibility?
Well, they're not necessarily handing over a lot more responsibility. We've always had that much responsibility.
Yeah.
Nurses have been there 24/7, and doctors are there maybe 2 to 10 minutes out of the day. So I've often said that people go to hospitals not for medical care, but for nursing care. And that's just the way it's always been, Laura.
Always. Well, thank you for the email, Michael. And let's go next to Casey in Portsmouth. Excuse me, Casey in Peterborough. Go ahead, Casey. You're on the air.
Hi, I just wanted to mention, sort of along with the last couple callers, I've been a 2-year degree nurse for about 7 years now, and I work in an intensive care unit, so I take care of fairly complex patients. And I have a bachelor's degree in another field prior to going to nursing school. I work with about half associate's degrees and half bachelor's degree nurses, and I notice no difference between the two. On the floor. I find that nursing is very specialized and you learn a lot coming into your specialty. And I'm not necessarily averse to to getting my bachelor's degree at some point. My issue right now is sort of financial.
Yeah, it's expensive.
Yeah, and my employer offers tuition reimbursement, but it's $2,000 a year, a calendar year, which is eaten up quite quickly when, you know, it's $400 or $500 a credit. Also, you know, at my hospital, nurses haven't gotten raises for the last couple of years because of the financial situation.
Well, in case I'm going to let you go in the interest of time, but Sue, she makes a good point. I mean, it's one thing to say, yes, everybody needs this education, but, you know, it's expensive, and many nurses are working, and they've got kids and so forth, so...
But one of the points I think we need to make is Carrie comes to nursing with a very different mindset and a very different skill set. She has a baccalaureate degree. She's been taught to think, so she just added on nursing. If I was Carrie, one of the things I would advise her to do if she wants to get more education, to just go on for a master's degree. We have those programs where nurses who have an associate degree in nursing have a baccalaureate degree. They can just move on right to a master's degree.
Wow, and I know you want to jump in real quickly, Yvonne.
The expense is huge.
And you've been living this.
I've been living this expense for many years, and I've just done one. You know, I've paid pretty much out of my pocket a little bit of tuition, you know, actually a fair amount of tuition reimbursement. It's taken me, 20 years or so to get my degree.
Wow.
And raising my husband, 5 children. So I absolutely agree with the cost, but, you know, what is the importance to you personally as well as professionally and seeing beyond that?
Well, hats off to you again, Yvonne, given that you're 2 weeks away from getting that bachelor's.
Yeah.
So thank you so much for being with us. I appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Yvonne Caraccino, she's a registered nurse at Elliott Hospital. Sue Fetzer, good to see you. Thank you for being here.
Always a pleasure, Laura.
Sue Fetzer, professor of nursing at UNH. And Tim Buckland, thank you for the time.
No problem.
Tim Buckland, reporter for the New Hampshire Union Leader. The Exchange is a production of NHPR. The engineer is Dan Colgan. Our producer is Ellen Grimm. Our volunteer is Priscilla Malcolm. Our interns are Ryan Lassard and Tim Camerato. Our theme music was composed by Bob Lord. Our executive producer is Keith Shields, and I'm Laura Kanoy.